The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side and Merry Christmas. It's Christmas Eve and this is issue number 114, chapter 16. I'm in the middle of a Stephen King book, so that's what chapter I'm on. That's how I bookmark my things. What are you up to, John? How are we doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for asking.
You're very welcome. Hey, I'm just being polite here, but we've already done the show. What was your favorite part of the show?
Mando has to be, right?
Yeah.
It had to be the Mando talk.
Per usual, you're bringing it. You had some good points. I don't want to... No spoilers here, but we talk full spoilers when we get to Mandalorian at the end of the episode. But you brought up a couple of new characters we'd like to see in the next season. You're bringing it. You know your Star Wars stuff.
I try.
After all these years, I'm just noticing that about you.
That I know Star Wars, yeah.
But
give it away.
Yeah, exactly. You also had a few. There's a few hot Star Wars books too that we got in back issue.
Yeah.
We actually are featuring a couple of $500 books this week.
We are.
If you can find those in your
back
issue,
find them,
please tweet us a picture. Yeah. It's like hitting the lottery.
Yeah.
But, all right, it's Christmas Eve. We got a big show to get to, so let's get into the store. Cold there, John?
Was until yesterday.
You guys know what time of year it is? What time? What? Oh, Christmas time. You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring you a new saxophone, right?
You've been good, John?
Everybody out there been good?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not many.
Hey, I've known you a long time. You haven't been good.
Yeah.
You better watch out.
I cannot tell a lie.
You cannot tell a lie. But Merry Christmas. It's Christmas Eve, buddy.
It is.
It is Christmas Eve.
Didn't we have that song already this year?
No.
I think you're...
No, I saved it. Just like last year, I saved it for the last one.
Okay.
Still
we
playing.
We had Bruce already, though, didn't we?
No, we had Brian Adams, Ron Rudolph.
That's right. I thought that was Bruce.
Yeah, no, that's the Canadian Bruce Springsteen.
That's right. You're right, it is.
Yeah, no, I love this song. I love this song.
Yeah.
I was telling Jen the other day, it's like, remember growing up, and whether it's this song or whatever it was when we were kids, it was such a treat to be able to hear something because you had to wait and hear it at the right, you know, you had to catch it on the radio.
Yeah.
And this one in particular, somebody gave me the 45 when I was working at Marshall's in Franklin. And we had like the Secret Santa grab or whatever, and somebody gave me the 45. So I was lucky enough to get that when I was like 16, 17, but.
Yeah, we live in an on-demand world now.
It's crazy. It's like,
you don't have to wait for anything.
Yeah, you don't get that. People don't know what wanting something is. It's like,
no.
I mean, we're just as guilty. I'm the same way. It's like, if something's
not working, I am too.
It's like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. I have no patience for something not working
anymore
because we don't have to, you know? It's like, we're conditioned for that to just be, everything to just be.
Yeah.
Right where we need it, right when we need it.
Yeah. So. It's a great time to be alive, John. Even in 2020.
I don't know about that.
Well,
but.
Think about it though. You know, this is a bright side. And I've said this all during this, but can you imagine what this whole year would have been like if it was when we were kids?
Yeah, if it was 1978.
Yeah, like the blizzard.
Yeah. It would suck.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it would suck.
We would have had nothing to do. You and I wouldn't have been able to talk.
I ran out of Netflix, you know, a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Where would you be if you only had three channels?
Yeah, I say, I don't know what I would have run out of. Didn't even have a VCR. Like, we had nothing.
No.
I'd be just sitting there watching Channel 56 all day, like.
Guy King, whatever's on. Star Blazer.
Yeah.
Oh, who good. Knows? Casper's on again.
Yeah, it would have been brutal.
Oh.
I would have had to read a book or something.
Yeah. It's, I mean.
You know. God forbid I was smarter because I had to read.
Well, I don't know. You still got to absorb the information. I've read a lot in my life. I'm no smarter for it. Yeah. But yeah, it's. I mean, this isn't our end of the year episode or anything like that. But yeah, it's. I mean, it is Christmas Eve, and it's. Hey, it's disappointing. We're doing nothing on Christmas Eve. We're normally this is the day we travel around and see the family, and we're not. We're not going anywhere. Jen and I are actually alone because the kids are going to their significant others and for their family stuff. And we're like, you know, that's it. We're like, all right, cool. We're getting some Chinese food and just hanging out by ourselves. It's going to be weird.
There you go.
I got to get a little goose, you know. I can't wait for 8 o'clock. Yeah, we'll be able to watch A Christmas Story.
That's right, for 24 straight hours.
Yeah. Now, are you in or out on A Christmas Story?
I mean, I'm good for like 1.5 viewings of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll turn on the TV wherever it happens to be in that episode.
Right.
And I'll watch the rest of it. And then I can watch one more. And then I'm kind of done.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. I can't do it multiple times all day long. I love the movie.
Yeah.
But, like I said, I'm good for about 1.5.
I said to somebody on Twitter, I can't remember which Twitter line it was, but I was like, I think we're the last generation, you know, growing up in the 70s where A Christmas Story actually relates to us, because if you take the car models, the make and models out, our Christmases in the 70s were like pretty much the same thing. Yeah. Right. And then it wasn't. And then technology came along in the 80s and you had video games and you had all this stuff and things kind of really took off from there. And it doesn't feel the same. But in the 70s, that show. That movie takes place in like 1940 or something like that. And it could be 1975. It really kind of feels the same thing to me. I mean, I remember being stuffed in a snowsuit. Jen and I were saying this the other day and sent off to school and trying to get yourself back in that snowsuit at school to get back on the school bus. And if you weren't ready for the bus left without you. And now you got to call your mother for a ride and then you're in big trouble.
I remember those days too.
Yeah,
but
fondly, John. Fondly, we remember those days. Remember?
Yeah. Okay.
What are your Christmas plans?
Did we though?
Yeah, I'm trying, John. I'm trying. What are your Christmas plans?
We're going to go to my daughter's for Christmas like we did for Thanksgiving. So again, there'll be like half the family will be there. So I think we're going to go out to dinner tomorrow afternoon with like the other part of the family.
Oh, okay.
So
that's good.
We kind of have a go out to dinner on Christmas Eve tradition because we're usually going to Christmas Mass at like 6 o'clock. And then we go to dinner afterwards. This year we're not going to Mass, but we're still going to go to dinner.
Yeah.
And then Friday we'll go to Francis's house for Christmas. And we'll be there. I'll be there trying to avoid Wonder Woman.
Oh, you're going to avoid it until Saturday?
Yeah, because I already have my tickets for Saturday. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going Saturday at 1 o'clock. So.
Awesome. Then you're going to come home and watch it?
And then I'll come home and I'll watch it on the Atmos in 4K and compare.
Like, I'm going the other route. I'm actually going to watch it on Christmas Day and then go and see it on Saturday and, you know, compare that way. But I'm really looking forward to it. Should be fun.
Yeah,
it's going
to
be fun.
Me too.
It's going to be a fun experiment at least. Speaking of that, I mean, well, just to let everybody know, I mean, we are going to be talking Mandalorian when we get to that part of the show, and no Kryptonite Key Club tonight, but we're going, when we talk Mandalorian, to let you know, if you've never seen the show, then, and you're wondering what chapter 16 means.
Yeah, we're
if
going
you don't
full
know,
spoilers.
Sorry, turn it off when we get to Mandalorian, because we're going full spoilers. You'd have to be like buried in a cave to not
well,
know
I was
what's
say,
going
I feel
on
like
in
we,
the world right now.
We said off air, anybody listening to our show
right.
has seen it or doesn't care. it's one or the other, right? Like, you've either seen it or you don't care.
Right.
So we're not spoiling anything for anybody.
Not to be mean, but why are you listening to us if you don't care? Really?
Yeah.
It's like, I think the people that listen at least care.
Yeah,
but
probably
maybe have
so.
Saved it up or something. I don't know, but yeah. it's.
But I mean, you can't avoid it.
No,
it,
no,
it was, you can't. It was so unavoidable.
Right.
Even Friday.
When did you watch it? By the way,
I watched it Friday night.
Oh, okay. Because I was,
and
I didn't hear
stay,
from you at all, and I was like,
no, I was on a social media moratorium all day Friday, because. Like, the very first thing I saw when I woke up in this morning was a post by Kevin Smith talking about how he teared up at the finale, and that's where I stopped reading.
Click!
I stopped reading, and I shut off social media until I watched the episode. And then when I finished the episode, I logged on to Facebook, and it was everywhere
right.
already.
So oh, yeah.
It's so unavoidable that even if you tried, you couldn't get away from it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I got up at... I'm usually up around 6, 6:30. I look at my phone, and I have some followers from my home theater podcast that are from, like, Australia and in England. So they're earlier, and they're right. all like, now, I don't know if it drops earlier there or if it drops at the same time and they're just wide awake. So, you know what I mean?
I think it's the same time, and it's just whatever their time whatever their
right so say what does it drop at 3 a.m I think it's
I don't even know, to be honest with you, because I don't ever try to watch it in the morning.
Yeah, I've heard different story, because I don't either, but I've heard it, from what I understand, the last time I remember trying to work it out is I think it drops at midnight Pacific time, so that'd be 3 a.m
right, which would be
two a.m for you.
Yeah.
But like, now if you're over in Europe or Australia, that's like noon.
Yeah.
So they're all like, yay, you know, middle of the day. And I just saw like Mandalorian, click, done. And I just ran downstairs to my theater and watched it, then got on and was like, was able to enjoy the festivities. So,
right.
We'll have festivities later. Do you want to go, what do you want to go with first? Do you want to go with some Disney Plus stuff, or do you want?
Well, no, I mean, we have to. We have to start with the bad news,
yes.
right? Because like, it seems like we can't do a show lately without talking about somebody from Star Wars that's passed. Like the last few weeks, like they've been pretty bad. But yeah, we lost Jeremy Bullock this week, who obviously was the original body of Boba Fett. He wasn't actually the voice,
right?
He was just the, basically he was the David Prowse of Boba Fett. But you know, he's the name most recognized with, but like, I don't know the name of the voice actor. Like, we know James Earl Jones did Darth Vader.
Right.
I don't know who did the voice of Boba Fett. To me, it was always Jeremy Bullock. You know, he was the man inside the mask. And so, great guy. I had a chance to meet him.
I was just going to ask you that. I'm sure you met him. In all your
I met
travels.
Him. I've met most of the I've met almost everybody with the exception of like the Trinity. I never met, you know, Harrison or Carrie or Mark, but I've met, I think, everybody else. And some of them are nicer than others, but Jeremy Bullock was always a great guy. I actually met him more than once, but I only ever stood in line to get his autograph once. But
oh, cool.
Yeah, really, really great guy. Always had time for the fans, always had time for autographs. He, you know, really was very popular on the convention circuit, you know, for that. And, you know, again, played, whether deservedly or not, like the most popular character in Star Wars, right?
Right.
Like,
right. Popular, you know, and infamous, whatever. It's like.
Yeah. And, you know, now it's a shame because he's kind of being outstaged because like his voice was, you know, Temuera Morrison's voice was redubbed into the, you know, the trilogy.
Right.
And like, you know, now he is going to be known as Boba Fett, but you know, Jeremy was the OG Fett. So,
well, no different than like you said about Prowse and James Earl Jones. Right. And I mean, right, that it he never was the voice. So it's not like he's being outstaged.
No, right.
There.
He never was. Right. Yeah. Right, it's not like we're with David Prowse where he went into the movie thinking he was the voice. Jeremy Bullock always knew that he was not. Yeah. So, but yeah, like I said, another one, you know, not to be callous, but another one bites the dust, you know,
yeah,
what I mean? It's like we're quickly losing Star Wars.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's, I mean, we're getting a lot more. Which is funny. We're getting new characters.
We're getting a new generation.
But
yeah,
our generation.
But our Star Wars growing up.
Yes.
Where, you know, we've got, you know, Anthony Daniels, Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill. I think that's it. You know, I think everybody else is gone at this point.
How old is
Mark? Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams is still with us,
yeah,
too. I'm not sure how old Mark Hamill is. It's got to be close to... Well, he's got to be in his late 60s, I would
imagine.
Yeah,
he's only a few... Like, he's 10 years older than us or something like that, I would think.
Yeah.
He was maybe 12.
Yeah, I mean, I was 7 when Star Wars came out, right? And what was he, 20 probably?
Yeah, so 13 years older than us.
Yeah, 13, so he's probably 63, 64, somewhere
that's
around
not bad.
There. Which, yeah, he's young. But, hey, you know, Harrison
Ford is... When
you're
50 like us, 63 is young, John.
Harrison Ford's pushing 80, so...
Yeah. Yeah, he's up there.
Yeah, because he was in his 30s in Star Wars. Yeah,
yeah.
So,
oof,
you know, he's getting up there. Anthony Daniels, I'm not sure. He's probably, you know, close in age to Mark, I would guess. But
really, yeah,
maybe a little older.
I think he would be.
He might be a little older than Mark. Yeah, Mark was probably the young. Well, Mark and Carrie were both kids in that movie.
Yeah,
they were probably the youngest ones. But
yep.
Yeah, like I said, it's just.
It's just that time. I mean, it's an old,
but how,
an older movie.
I guess,
what?
How, I don't even want to say fitting because it's never fitting when somebody passes away, but like the timing of his passing,
yeah,
with the finale of The Mandalorian and,
well, it was right before,
you know,
that, wasn't it? I thought it was like
right
after we recorded the next day because we were just talking about, I thought it was fitting in that way. It's like, we had just had the episode where Boba Fett came back, didn't we? Or
right.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think he was able to see that.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. So, and, you know, was able to kind of see the resurgence of the character,
yeah,
you know, before he passed. So, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully we're not talking about anybody else in the next couple of weeks. So.
Yeah. Let's make it through the rest of the year, huh?
Yeah.
One more week.
So, yeah.
All right. Let's move on to happier things. What did you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I just have my list that I go
it's
down.
Quite
so
a list.
If you want to go out of order, you can let me know. But
well, let's, just knock yourself out. I'll jump in where I see fit. How's that sound?
All right. So, first thing is we got some more of a concrete date on the Snyder Cut. On HBO Max is now confirmed for March of 2021. So, could be the 1st, could be the 30th.
I thought I saw that though. Hang on.
I didn't see a specific date. I just saw March 2021. So,
I thought I saw that it was like the 19th or something like that.
Okay. But, you know, definitely, you know, we had been told first quarter of, you know, 2021, which, you know, March definitely qualifies. Of course, it's the last month to technically be the first quarter, but but we'll take it.
That's you.
Yep.
Could be 1 month, could be 3.
Exactly. Could be the 1st, could be the 31st.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I swear I saw it somewhere on the 15th. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. There's been so many release dates lately.
I know.
It's crazy.
But yeah,
that's March. That's and it's
not that far. You know, we're going to go
dropping them weekly, right?
I believe so. 6 weekly episodes. I would imagine we'd get them weekly, yeah.
Yeah.
So, But I mean, that's not bad because, you know, we've got things already coming to lead us up into March. So, like, it'll be here before you know it. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's pretty much January now. I mean, we're going to have Cobra Kai. We're going to have WandaVision. We're going to have...
Oh, that's what it was. Winter Soldier. Falcon Winter Soldier is March 19th.
Yeah, that's right. The date I saw that. Because there was... I saw that today where there was definite timelines and dates.
Oh, I have them all here if you want to get to them.
Okay, I figured you would. So we'll get to that when we talk about some Disney Plus stuff, I guess.
Disney Plus, is that a streaming service?
I heard of it.
Yeah.
But I'll skip around a little bit and stick with HBO Max.
Alrighty.
HBO Max has renewed his Dark Materials for a final season 3. So season 2 is airing right now. Season 3.
How is that?
Will be
I've never
end.
Seen it.
I really like it. Yeah.
What's the premise?
We watch it. What's The Golden Compass? Did you ever see the movie The Golden Compass?
Mm-mm.
It's basically that story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So should I see the movie first and then get into the show?
No, because it's got nothing to... it's it's the same story. They're adapted from the same books, but I mean, they're not related in any way. No, I would just start watching the show. It's really hard to explain. You just need to watch it. Sci-fi, though. It's... Yeah, I think you'd like it.
Well, I got
Lydia
some stuff for you when we get to
it.
Real world here, because I've had a good week.
Oh, good. Good. So, yeah, that's, I guess, good and bad. Like, I'm glad we're getting a season 3, but I'm also a little sad that it's ending, because I do enjoy that show. So, and then sticking with Warner Brothers, this isn't necessarily HBO Max, but it is, in a way. Patty Jenkins... did an interview this week and was asked about Wonder Woman 3, which was pretty much a lock that she was going to direct. And now it's not. Like, she is only interested in directing Wonder Woman 3 at this point if there's a theatrical release model for it.
Right.
She is not really happy with the deal that was made to bring, you know, Wonder Woman to HBO Max and, isn't really interested in doing a third movie for streaming only. So I'm hoping it, you know, by the time that movie would be ready to be released, I can't imagine we wouldn't have, I can't imagine we wouldn't be able to get
so
a theatrical release.
Do you think that this, I read a couple of these articles, and when she was the one that announced that Wonder Woman 84 would be on HBO Max, She's the one that dropped it. So by her doing that, it showed that she was like backing the idea, right?
I think she wasn't quite as on board with it as we were led to believe.
Or do you think that with the backlash from everybody else in Hollywood and the backlash from, well, a good segment of the population in the theaters, do you think this is an olive branch of like, see, this isn't something that we plan on doing permanently, and basically saying like, look, I'll do Wonder Woman 3, but it's not going to go to HBO Max. You know, it's like, this was a one-time thing without her saying that this was a one-time thing. You know what I mean?
It's hard to say. I would imagine that the $10 million check they cut her was buying her support. And
of course.
I don't necessarily think that she... I think she probably wasn't too thrilled with it, because even, you know, getting an extra $10 million check, which again, like $10 million for you or I, or really for anybody, let's be fair, is like a life-changing amount of money.
John, but I'd that's split not $10 million with you.
Exactly, but like that's nowhere near like what she would have made on back-end residuals if that movie did $1 billion. You know what I mean? So like she's left a lot of money on the table with this whole deal. So,
but this, let's talk about that for a second, because in these articles that I read, they're talking about like, oh, woe was me with the pandemic and this.
Right.
Wonder Woman's the one, 84 is the movie that really, pardon my French, can't bitch and moan about the pandemic. This movie was supposed to be out 2 years ago and they delayed it themselves.
Well, right. But she didn't.
No, but like, I'm saying
Warner Brothers did, but Patty Jenkins did.
No, but she was part of the entire thing, and it. I mean, the original reasoning, from what we understood, was it didn't want to go up against Endgame, so you wait a year. Right. It just, you know, it's. I mean, this entire thing gets. This is a worse story to me than New Mutants.
Right.
You know, it's like, because this was the blockbuster. This was the next movie out of their, second most lucrative movie they've got. It was the second installment of it. And they waited a year. It was afraid to go up again. Like, people were going to be tired of going to the movies in the summertime back when Endgame came out. You know. And now, I mean, that was in hindsight, I mean, how, obviously they didn't understand there was a pandemic coming,
right?
But
right. I think you know, all things being equal, they would have gone back and released it when they had the chance.
Yes, but. Oh, of course. But yeah, it's, I mean, it's too bad, but that's, you know, you look at what's going on now, and of course they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna do day and date forever.
And no,
that's what
not.
This that's what she's just basically trying to say, like, oh, I'll come back and do another one as long as it doesn't go to HBO Max.
But, you know, we've also got Rogue Squadron to contend with, and, you know, what's the timeline
right.
look on, you know, for that, and, you know, who knows. It's just more up in the air than it was before, you know, because, like, there was talks of Wonder Woman 3 and an Amazon's spinoff that she wanted to do, and I just don't know that she's as entrenched in the Warner Brothers camp as she was before.
Right.
Because now she has Disney knocking. And, you know, who knows? Who knows what she does? Like, maybe she goes and directs Black Widow 2 or something instead, you know?
Right.
So, you know, who knows?
So. Yep. Yep. All right. What else we got?
All right. So, I guess, keeping with Warner Brothers, we have some comic book news.
What?
Yeah, so we know that in January and February, basically next week, DC launches Future State, which is their two-month event. When they come out of this in March, we have what is called the Infinite Frontier. And this is not necessarily a line-wide reboot like Rebirth or the New 52 was, but it is a lot of changes. There are basically new creative teams for every book on the stands, I think with the exception of Batman. James Tynion stays with Batman. Every other book is getting completely revamped with new creative teams. There's a whole bunch of new series that are being launched, starting with Infinite Frontier number 0, which I imagine would be the first week of... Yeah, well, here it is, on sale 3/2/21, so first week of March. Which is going to kick off the next phase of the DC Universe. We've got new series. We've got Batman Urban Legends, which is going to be written by Chip Zdarsky of Daredevil fame. So that should be really good.
I'm in.
Yeah, me too. we have the new ongoing Joker series. We have a new Harley, a new Swamp Thing, you know, a whole bunch of new series. But our mainstays are not being renumbered. Like, Batman's coming back with 106.
Okay.
Superman's coming back with number 29, you know.
Everybody's Chip
getting new Batman Urban Legends.
Oh.
Which is I can't tell from this if it's an ongoing or just like a mini series. But it just says issue number 1.
So what's he doing with, so he's still going to be doing Daredevil too?
Don't know.
I'm not familiar. Is that common?
Okay, so this is Batman
uncommon.
Urban Legends. Well, here's the thing. Batman Urban Legends number 1 looks like written by Chip Zdarsky, Matthew Rosenberg, Stephanie Phillips. I think this is an anthology series.
Oh.
And I don't think that it will necessarily take him away from Daredevil.
Right.
You know? Now, whether crossing the street makes a difference, I don't know, because they're obviously DC and Marvel are two different companies. But
yes, they are.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Now, when will Zdarsky stuff get delivered? Does that come with which
3-9 is Batman Urban Legends number one? Is
no, but I'm saying your FOC for Zdarsky stuff. Are you going to have to get that in order? Like some Zdarsky is going to have to be on a Friday, and another one's going to.
Oh yeah, yep. He's going to have.
I was pushing your buttons there, John.
You were. I didn't pick up on it right away, but
I know you're in too good a mood. It's Christmas Eve.
You're right. But yeah, I don't know. Should be good. I'm looking forward to some of the books. You know, some of the creative teams look good. Bendis is off Superman, so I could probably read Superman again, although he's going to Justice League, so I guess I have to stop reading Justice League. we'll see. But yeah, I don't know. Should be good. Something to look forward to, I guess, at the other side of Future State. So
yeah. Yeah, that should be good. I mean, additional books would be nice.
Yeah, some of the new books look good. You know, I mean, I don't know how many different Batman books we need or Superman books we need necessarily, but
yeah.
Hey. I mean, I'm down for anything good, that Chip Zdarsky's involved in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. We don't need more crap. We just need more.
No.
We need more good.
We need more good.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of more good, let's give the listeners more good. What are we moving on to?
Yeah, so we're going to move on to Disney Plus. We have Disney Gallery, The Mandalorian Season 2 premieres Christmas Day, so tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, so if you watch Season 1 of this at all, you know this is like the kind of behind-the-scenes making of Season 2 of The Mandalorian. So at this point, we have no more Mando to watch on Friday, so... This is it.
Yep.
For 8 more weeks, we'll have this, and we'll be able to get our fix.
And you and I did a little pre-show research, and there's only one episode in the log right now called...
Listed, yeah, one listed, but...
called Making of Season 2.
We're thinking it's probably 8, because that's what Season 1 had.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, Season 1 had 8 of them, and we... I mean, that was where we got the big bomb dropped of how the set that they have. That nice digital set piece of with the live active, you know, screens behind them. It's basically revolutionizing, you know, movie making, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully we'll get more of that. We'll talk more when we get to The Mandalorian on that. But hopefully we'll get a lot more good stuff in this year's Disney Gallery. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to that. I didn't even know about that until you sent it in the notes. And I was like, because last year it didn't come for like a couple months.
It was well after. This is basically just the week after we get it.
Right.
So
because remember, Picard did the ready room, and it was like,
and that was day of.
It came with each episode, which was awesome. And I kind of forgot about it while we were watching Mandalorian, because when we watched Picard, we were hoping Mandalorian season 2 did this.
Would do that.
You know, because we were like, because they'd already done Gallery and it was 8-8, so that was cool. And we're like, that would be cool if they did. But now, you know what? I don't know. I kind of like this because now instead of just getting 8 weeks.
Right,
of,
now we get eight more
eight
weeks
more
of Mando
weeks
stuff.
Of Mando stuff, you know?
Which I just found out.
That's 2 months? Yeah, I know.
No, but I just found out that, like, I've been watching, I think we're 10 episodes into season 3 of Star Trek Discovery right now. And I just realized that they have done a ready room for this whole season also.
See?
I haven't seen any of it.
That's
I didn't even know
I'm
they
not
were doing
watching it.
It.
I would have told
I
you.
I know. So
that's awesome.
Now I'm going to have to try to go back and get caught up on the ready rooms for Discovery as well.
Oh,
so.
Cool. That's cool. Is it hosted by Will Wheaton?
It's Will Wheaton. Yeah, again? It's Will Wheaton. Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. Now, he's not on Discovery, is he?
He's not.
No. But he wasn't on Picard either.
No, he was on Next Generation.
Right.
So yeah. All right. My next bit of news is Disney Plus news, and it's kind of spoilers, so I guess we'll start early.
All right. What are we talking
about? Yeah, so we have The Book of Boba Fett.
Oh yeah, Disney announced that the other on Monday.
Well, they announced. Well, right. Well, they have announced all of this stuff, but it's spoilers if you didn't see the end of Mandalorian. But yeah, so The Book of Boba Fett. Now, here's the thing. When We talked about the Investor Day news last week.
Yep.
There was two things that were that were kind of announced that were a little misleading. One was the lack of an announcement, which
you mentioned.
We talked about.
Yep.
There was no announcement of the Boba Fett series that we had heard was in development. And then we were also given the release date for The Mandalorian Season 3 of December 2021. So, for those that watched The Mandalorian this week, there was an end credit scene, which I don't know about you, but I didn't find out about that until Facebook, and I had to go back and watch
it. Oh, you didn't see the
No, because I don't watch I don't watch through the credits for an end credit scene, because they've never had one before. But anyway, there was a stinger scene at the end that announced the Book of Boba Fett, also coming in December of 2021. So my first thought after I picked my jaw up off the floor was, how are we getting both of these
at the same time
in December of 2021? Like, is the Book of Boba Fett season three of The Mandalorian? You know, we weren't really sure. In the next days afterwards, it was confirmed that they were actually two separate shows. But I wasn't sure. But the bit of misdirection is that The Mandalorian Season 3 does not actually take place in December of 2021.
Right.
It doesn't happen in 2021 at all.
Right.
So,
early 22.
Yeah, I would have guessed, well, early 22 or maybe the December time slot.
You think a year later?
Might be. Might be. I don't know, but yeah, so, I mean, there's good and bad there. Like, you know, I was afraid that, like, maybe we were done with, Din Djarin and, you know, Pedro Pascal, and I thought that we were going to go forward. Well, because there was a lot of rumor that they were dumping him because of problems on the set. So my first thought was that season three of The Mandalorian was going to shift to Boba. It's called The Mandalorian. It's not called Din Djarin.
Right.
You know? And so Boba Fett qualified.
No, he's not Mandalorian, though. They even said that in the last... Well,
yeah,
we'll get to that.
But I guess he's not. But there you go. Anyway, that was my first thought, was that it was going to take the place of. Luckily, that's not the case. But yeah, so it looks like in December we get the Book of Boba Fett. So...
We'll get into
talk about
more
that,
of that
more in spoilers, but
yeah.
But yeah, that's really cool.
Yes, it's very cool.
And then the last thing I had is Netflix has renewed Lock and Key for season 3. So I know you're excited about that. We talked a little while ago about the season 2 renewal. now we have a season 3 renewal. We haven't even gotten a date for season 2 yet, but apparently
it
went over.
Throw out season four.
It went over so well, that we're moving on.
People are so excited. We're giving them two. Let's give them three.
Exactly. So,
telling you, Oprah's running these places.
I know it.
All right. Let's see. What do I got here? I have MCU's official slate for 2021.
Right.
We have this. I mean, when you read it down, it's awesome. We have WandaVision, obviously January 15th.
Yep.
Rolls, that should roll us right into Falcon and Winter Soldier, March 19th. Then Black Widow is May 7th. That's just a movie. We have Loki also in May, no date. Shang-Chi, July 9th, sorry. What If comes out sometime in the summer. So that's anywhere from June to August, I'd imagine. Eternals, November 5th. Spider-Man 3, December 17th. John, less than a year.
Yep.
And that you can call it what you want, John, but that's less than 12 months.
It is.
More than 11, but less than 12.
Less than 12. Yep.
And then Hawkeye and Miss Marvel are both late 2021.
Yeah. 2021 is jam-packed.
Jam-packed.
Not so much for Star Wars, but
no.
For Marvel.
No.
We only get like two Star Wars projects next year.
But then you throw in December, you also throw in Book of Boba Fett in there.
Right.
You know, and I mean, Spider-Man 3 is coming out December 17th. Book of Boba Fett sometime middle December, I guess. They didn't say a date. But I mean, we're going to.
And then we have the Bad Batch sometime prior to that.
During the year.
Yeah, during the year. Yeah.
So, I mean. Lots and lots of content, John. Yeah. Very exciting. Very exciting. We just got to get to 2021. We got 1 week left. Yep. They haven't extended 2020 yet. That was our bold hope that they didn't do that. So
gives me a reason to live another year. So,
but speaking of all this streaming and everything, did you see that Discussing Film had tweeted that Kevin Feige says that streaming is 100% the future and where consumers want to watch things? Apparently, he's been listening to the Bright Side Chat because we've been saying that for a long time that we prefer the long form now. Whether you realize it or not, you're like, why would I want to sit through a 2 hour movie when I can enjoy like, you know, 8 hours if you give us eight 1 hour episodes, or Mandalorian, eight half hour episodes. But
yeah, I mean, he's right. It is.
Yeah. But even look at Mandalorian though. Even the shortest one was like a half hour. But at eight episodes, you're looking at, we got about over 5 hours of content there. That's a good amount. It's better than a movie. And it is what the people want. He said, he also said an experience like WandaVision is something you can't get in a movie, which is true. It's, I mean, the things that they did, the way they developed these characters. And I mean, look at Ahsoka. You can't develop that in just a movie. And that's what we've said that many times. It's like the most developed character is Ahsoka. I think the next most developed now is Mandalorian. He's had two seasons. Well,
yeah, again, like if you include the Clone Wars though, I mean, we have pretty good development for Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's so much more development than Han Solo or, you know, Luke Skywalker even, or, you know, Princess Leia. Like, you just didn't get that kind of development with those characters. Even over multiple movies, you just couldn't do what they did with those, you know, with the TV shows.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Let's see. We already talked about Book of Boba Fett. Did you see She-Hulk info?
I did see that. I didn't,
So Feige
I didn't
also
save it as a news source, but, so like basically like a 30-minute kind of dramedy.
Yeah, he said it's
drama
comedy. Yeah, it's a half hour comedy type drama with, you know, what do you call it? Courtroom type stuff.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Which
how
is
they
what
put
I
it.
Said at the very beginning. Like when I very first heard about She-Hulk, that's all I wanted.
Right.
Like I want Law and Order, She-Hulk, you know? Like,
yeah, well, it says here, according to Feige, the series will draw inspiration and stay true to John Byrne's 1980s She-Hulk run, which was a semi-satirical take on the character. She became one of the few fourth wall-breaking Marvel heroes.
Right.
So that would be a blast.
And did it before Daredevil. I mean, before Deadpool.
Oh, before Deadpool.
She did it before Deadpool.
I was just going to say, I'm like, I don't remember Daredevil breaking the fourth wall.
No. I meant right. Deadpool.
That would have been weird.
Yeah. He's blind. All I want is for her to square off in court against Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's my perfect show.
They also said you can expect to see Mark Ruffalo in the series as Bruce Banner. Yeah. And along with Tim Ross, Abomination. Right. And we had said that, a week or so ago?
We knew that. We knew that last week.
But that one doesn't come until 2022.
Right.
So, all right.
Should be good, though. Something else to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we got a lot to look forward to. So, all right. Is that it? I think that's it.
I think so, yeah.
All right. Let's get to some comics, and then we can get to some more Mando talk eventually. But all right, John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
So Dark Knight's Death Metal Secret Origins number 1, the 1-in-25 variant by Gary Frank is selling for between $25 and $50 at the moment. So almost double ratio at the high end. It's definitely one to keep an eye on there. Department of Truth number 4. Has two incentive covers that are both over ratio. the 1 in 10.
I thought you were gonna say overrated.
What's that?
You said over ratio, and when you got to over, and I was like, overrated.
Oh, overrated.
Yeah, both overrated.
Well, that too, but no, I don't know. I haven't read it yet.
I'll talk about it later.
Yeah. But yeah, the 1 in 10 is selling for about $15. The 1 in 25 selling for $30. So not crazy over ratio, but a little bit. King size Conan number one. $7 one shot with 5 incentive variant covers, which is crazy. But they're all, again, they're all over a ratio. There's a 1 in 50 variant selling for about $70. 1 in 100 is selling for $125. And then there's a 1 in 200, which hasn't
How many
seen
of those
really
did
any
you get?
Sales yet. How many of those did I get? Three. Three or four. Basically just for my Conan readers. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know who's ordering 200 of these. But they're being listed for like 500 plus. Nobody's buying them yet. So, again, like, you're not just going to walk into your shop and find the 1 in 200 sitting on the shelf. But,
back issue bonus, people.
Yeah. But, yeah, I can't imagine there's many shops that went that heavy on these.
I think that the places that have them aren't called shops.
No, they're basically Midtown and right. DCBS. Yeah, they're right. The big online retailers.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's a store. There's a chain in
200.
Town. Yeah, there's a chain in town here in Houston, Bedrock Comics, and they've got 6 locations, I think.
Yeah.
Been around for 30 years. I don't think they ordered 200 copies combined for all 6 stores.
Right.
So, that's yeah. You got to go pretty deep on that. But anyway, it's out there, and it's $500. So, yeah.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah. Go ahead and grab that if you want.
Send us a picture if you grab one.
Yeah. let's see. Something is Killing the Children number. And these are all ratios, which at this point is almost a no-brainer. Like, we already know they're going to be high. But Something is Killing the Children number 13. The 1 in 25 variant on this is selling for about $50. So that's kind of the going rate for that series right now. And last but not least, we have Spawn 313. So the 1 in 5, the black and white, incentive cover is selling for between $12 and $15. But also keep your eye on cover A that has the Violator Santa, pretty much just selling at cover price, but you know, that may tend to creep up over time.
A Violator then, Santa? That sounds weird.
It's cool. Yeah, it looks cool. And then the C cover has the first appearance of Plague Spawn. So that could also be one to keep an eye on. So really any of the Spawn covers are probably a good pickup this week. That is it for Speculator.
All right. Let's get into our back issue bonus then. Look for some of those $500 books that are hiding back there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Fantastic Four 353. This is the first appearance of Mobius M. Mobius. Owen Wilson is playing this character on the Loki TV show. So you know the drill. $25 to $50 for that issue. Currently, it was probably $1 last week. So definitely go hunting for that. Star Wars Jedi versus Sith. Issue number one. This is from 2001. I don't know if you know this, but Star Wars is probably the hottest back issue property going right now.
Rise of Skywalker came out a year ago, so I'd expect things to still be hot.
Yeah. and yeah. Probably has something to do with last week.
Oh,
but
oh.
This one has the first appearance of Darth Bane. Not the Bane that's breaking Batman's back in Gotham.
Okay.
But, $250 to $500 for non-graded copies of this. So that's insane.
So there are $500 books back there in the back issue.
There are.
You are just making people money this Christmas.
We are now. Oh, I like again, how you say probably not going to find this. Probably not going to find this in the dollar bins, but. I don't think.
Did you
I mean, I know
check
it was
yours?
Worth money. Yeah, I wouldn't have had this anyways, but This was probably worth more than a buck last week, but it definitely wasn't worth $250. Also, issue number 3 of the same series is the first Darth Bane cover appearance, and that's selling for about $50. Also, Star Wars, X-Wing Rogue Squadron, Rebel Opposition number 1. This jumped right after the announcement of Patty Jenkins doing the Rogue Squadron movie. Whether that movie has anything to do with this book, who knows? Nobody seems to care.
It's got a similar title.
Yep, still selling for between $25 and $70. Night Hunters, issue number 1. This came out last week from a company called Floating World Comics.
Okay.
Never heard of them, never heard of the book. But apparently there's some interest on it. It's selling for anywhere between $8 and $20. So if you could find one of those on the rack at your local comic store, you probably want to pick it up. Also from last week, Teen Titans Endless Winter number 1. First appearance of a character called Black Ice, selling for between $8 and $12. Hey, also from last week,
yeah.
Solid Blood number 17. We talked about this last week. But it's still selling for between $15 and $20, even a week after all the hype, so it hasn't really died down yet. Doubt you'll find these on the racks anymore, but
right.
Yeah, if you can, they're about $20. Star Wars Legacy number 20. This is the first appearance of Darth Ezzard. This one's still a little bit under the radar, but it's jumped up to $20. So this is one that you might still be able to find in some dollar bins out there. David Lynch, Angriest Dog in the World.
Another short title. You love those.
Yeah. Apparently a company called Rotland Press did a 500-copy print run of this. I guess was a comic strip. And they put it in book form, and it's selling for about $100. So,
all right.
Star Wars Darth Vader number 14 from 2018. This has an Ahsoka Tano cameo, and it's Star Wars, so $20 to $30.
There you go.
The going price of this, and then last but not least, Star Wars Jango Fett Open Season number 1. The whole miniseries is hot. You know, sets of the 4 issues are selling for between $250 and $300. Issue 1 is about $100 by itself. So, again, anything Boba Fett now is
right.
Is crazy.
Yeah.
And that is it for your back issue bonus for this week.
All right, and it being Christmas week, let's get into the heavy FOC.
Yeah, so there is no FOC this week. Not because I didn't do it.
No, there isn't one.
Because there actually is not one.
There
so,
isn't.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Moving along. All right, yep. Let's get into the checkout then. It was a slow week.
It was, yeah. I only actually have one book this week that was like a new number one issue. So I don't know if you read it or if you have anything else. But
yep.
But yeah, so the book I read is from Vault Comics. It's called The Picture of Everything Else. It was written by Dan Waters, had art by Kishiro Mohan. How do you describe this book? Yeah, so it takes place in, basically the early 20th century. I think at the last page, the panel said 1899.
Right. It starts 3 years before the turn of the century. That's when the book takes place.
Right.
And then the last panel jumps
a couple of years.
Yeah.
So it follows two artists, who I guess share studio space together and, do their artwork. They're good friends. Plus, I guess. And then there, it takes kind of in the place of the backdrop of like a bunch of serial murders that are taking place in Paris, by a killer they dubbed the Paris Ripper. I guess not to be confused with Jack the Ripper. But
no relation to Paris Hilton.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know how else to describe it. Like, well, without really spoiling anything. You know, but
what I, well, let me
go ahead. Yeah.
What I found interesting, when, and I'll say I wasn't blown away by the book.
I wasn't either.
But there was one interesting aspect that I thought was, like, at the beginning of the book, they have a conversation about, it's like, this book is taking place right around the time of the advent of the camera.
Right.
And they're talking about, like, well, I guess that, you know, portrait work is done. And it was kind of interesting to hear those conversations compared to what we hear nowadays with the, you know, new technology coming along and certain things being outdated now, and you don't need to do this anymore. We've got a machine for whatever the case is. But I thought that was an interesting conversation artistically, because they actually brought up some artistic points and, like, things that you can get with a painting that you can't get with a photograph. And but at the same time, if anybody that's ever done any kind of photography, that's the job of the photographer, the artist, to do the same thing. But with photography being new at the turn of the century, they don't know that yet. I thought that was interesting.
It was, and I feel like there were aspects of this that appealed to you and I, maybe, or like other quote-unquote artists, yeah, because those are conversations that we may have been involved in, or, you know, some of the things they did or things that we would do.
But I thought the main story was very slow-moving.
It was slow. Yeah, like you said, I wasn't blown away by this book either, but I didn't hate it, you know, like, I actually thought it was somewhat unique once the cat was out of the bag, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, because you do find out who the Paris Ripper is before this book is over, and the name is very fitting.
Right.
Based on the method of killings that he does. And
I thought it was a different...
I don't know, like, I am going to read number two, because I am interested in it.
How long is the series?
I don't know.
Is it ongoing? Or?
Yeah, I don't. I hope I'm not sure. I don't imagine it would be. But I don't think it lends itself to, like, an ongoing, long-term story. It's
right.
It's probably four or five issues. But yeah, I thought the art was okay. Again, didn't blow me away, but it seemed like it fit the... like the time frame of the story they were telling.
Yes.
Like it was kind of drawn in that early 20th century style. And I don't know. I don't give it an A+, but in a week where there wasn't a lot of number ones to choose from,
right,
I think it's not a bad pickup. Like, I don't think you'll read it and, like, regret buying it, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a glowing recommendation.
Exactly.
Really,
it's like I said, I thought there was some interesting stuff in it, like you and I would relate to. But I thought the story was slow moving, and the ending was one, you know, not really an ending, but, you know, it didn't really grab me enough to make me be, like, excited for book two. But it's one that I would like to see it go on. But this is one of those books that I could say, like, you know, like a month or two from now, be like, oh yeah, we read that, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which,
well, it's kind of like, I want to read number two, but if I forget next month,
you won't
be
upset.
I don't think I'll lose any sleep over it.
Right.
You know,
the other number one today, which I started to read, but I just couldn't, I decided to move on to something else, was the, Ginny Hex.
Oh, which actually wasn't supposed to come out until next week. So you shouldn't have even been able to buy that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that was... No, you even had it on your list of coming out this week.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been out.
Okay.
Lunar mailed 2 weeks worth of books.
Yeah, but you had... But you even... that's why I grabbed it. You even had it on your list last week as coming out this week.
Yeah, because it was in my pile of books. Oh. Like, when I unpacked my box, I had it, so...
Right.
You know what I mean? I didn't realize until...
Oh, okay.
Later in the week that there was 2 weeks worth of releases.
Okay,
there.
We'll talk about that one next week.
Yeah. Well, no, it's fine. You already read it. But
no,
yeah,
I, that's
I'm a, sure a yeah. lot of stores did that and didn't see that and just put everything out.
Oh, no, he separated. Like I told you, I was with him this morning. He separated. I just grabbed it because it was on our list as coming next week.
Right, but right? He shouldn't have sold it to you.
Right, well,
yeah.
Well, regardless.
Because, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not, yeah. It wasn't actually this week. But what I'm saying is there's probably many stores where right. all those were put out because
right.
it wasn't, like, abundantly clear
right.
that what was going on. It really wasn't, if it wasn't for the Facebook groups talking about it, I would have not known. Because I pulled them and put them in everybody's boxes Monday when I did my shipment, I had them on my website as new releases. Like I processed them like they were going out. And then Monday night is when I found out that they weren't supposed to go out. And
right.
I had to tell everybody that was coming in to get them that they couldn't have them. So,
okay. Well,
but anyways, you didn't like it.
No, it's so. Not that I didn't like it, but it was more kiddie, like for kids yeah. at the beginning. So I put it down. So, like, this is the long version of me saying I didn't even finish it. I didn't read it all.
Well, so read it next week, and then you can
tell. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. But then I did go back and read. Now, you didn't read anything last week, but did you get to The Expanse? Last week's
no,
Expanse,
I didn't.
Number one?
No, I didn't, but I'm watching the show, so.
So, that's I started that book, and I was okay. another book that I had to put down because I started it. And now we'll get to that when we get to Real World, but I started watching The Expanse and I looked this book up and it's a
yeah,
book.
This book is definitely spoilery.
Oh yeah. It takes place between seasons 4 and 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Connection. You don't want to read.
And I was like, okay, put this down because I noticed they did a good job with the artwork. I'll tell you that because there's some characters in there that you definitely recognize from the show. They did a good job with that. But so I put that one down. So I had a hell of a day picking up books, putting them down.
Yeah, putting them down, picking
things
them up,
put
them down.
But I read Star Wars. What's that? Star Wars number 9. I never got to Endless Winter. I didn't have time for that. I read The Scumbag. What's that? Number 3.
Number 3. Yeah.
And Department of Truth number 4.
Yeah. See, I didn't read a lot today either, but I did read the Endless Winter stuff.
How was
so
Endless
caught up
Winter
on that.
The number? What's
well,
that?
There was
number 2.
Well, that comes out next week also.
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. Today was the see he didn't separate them.
No, he did. I helped him, but see what the thing was is I saw it and I just put it in my pile, but he didn't tell me that that one. But he was separating things out.
Yeah, that's next week's book, too. This week, it was the Black Adam special and I think one other book were Endless Winter books this week. But yeah, I've read that. I read Detective Comics for this week.
Now, he told me that one was – no, that is this week. I'm sorry. You're right.
That's this week. The Batman Annual is
next week. Yeah. That's the one I wanted to take. He goes, that's next – he wouldn't let me have it, but apparently –
he wouldn't let you have that, but he gave you Jenny Hex and the Endless Winter.
Right. All I got to – all I should have done was just put it in my pile.
Exactly. Just put it in
my
pile.
I was making my own pile.
Yeah.
Whoops. Did you get to XO number 3?
No.
That was this week.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it came out this week because I don't order that.
Oh, I tweeted about it yesterday. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That one was good. That was good.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was about it for the Star Wars. Is pretty good. Not a tremendous. It's a good heart wrenching story, but it's not.
Oh, yeah.
A tremendous amount of action, but yeah. But Department of Truth.
Yeah.
You've been keeping up on that. We've talked about
I have. Yeah, I read 3. I just haven't read 4.
Oh. It's such a good series. It's crazy with the it's hard to believe you're reading a comic book.
It feels like you're watching the X-Files, honestly.
Yeah. And it's with the Lee Lee Oswald. Lee Harvey's running the whole thing and yeah, it's really good. And Scumbag 2 is just crazy.
I haven't even read the second issue of Scumbag yet.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's... Yeah.
I didn't love it. You know, I mean, I'll probably get to it, but I didn't really love that series.
It's...
Like, I wasn't blown away by
number 1. Leave your brain at the
door.
It's kind of... It's very... Not kind of. It's very stupid, but it's funny at times.
Yeah.
It's like a complete 180 from Department of Truth.
Right. Well, yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to, well, let's get to Real World, because I was going to talk about The Expanse, but let's get to Real World. John, what did you watch this week?
So a few things. We watched the finale of The Flight Attendant last Thursday.
Oh, we finished that as well. Look at us. Yeah. We're at the same time.
Hey, we're like we're on the same time and the same place on something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was very good.
Yeah, I really liked it. I really like seeing that it was it's already been renewed for a season 2.
Yeah.
So
you really can see that at the end.
Well, yeah, because when I got to the end, I was telling Lydia.
Let's not spoil it like we did for other shows, but.
No, but I told Lydia, I was like, oh, well, that's how they're setting up season 2. Because
right.
Honestly, all the way through.
How do you get another
season? I was like,
season?
How are we going to do another season? Like, they're going to be done with this. And I thought it was just going to be one and done. But,
I had figured it out about halfway through how they were doing a season 2.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so they set up in the finale, they kind of set up season 2, but then. I read a couple of days later, Kaylee Cuoco tweeted something that they had been picked up for season 2. So
right.
So yeah, really happy about that because I enjoyed that. Then we watched A Teacher on Hulu. I don't know if you're familiar
just
with this.
Any teacher
this show
or
it's called A Teacher. It's got Kate Mara, and it is a series on Hulu. It's a half hour series. When I caught up to it. I think we started watching it Thursday after The Flight Attendant. There were 8 episodes dropped. It's a 10-episode total. It actually comes out weekly. So we watched those 8 over the course of the week, and then we caught up number 9 on Tuesday when it dropped. Yeah, it's a half-hour show. She's a teacher that has an affair with one of her students, and basically all of the stuff that happens with that and when, you know, when it eventually gets found out and all that stuff. And, you know, it's sort of, you know, it's the same story you see in the news all the time, but fictionalized in a show.
Right.
But it's actually really good. You know, again, it's one of those things where you know it's wrong, you know, as a viewer.
Thanks.
Like, that it shouldn't be happening. But as you're watching it and the events are out unfolding, everything seems so plausible. And you know what
I mean?
It's like, oh, well, this doesn't seem that bad, you know? He's 18 and everything, you know? But
oh, was
then,
he?
Yeah. But
then
you're
then
like,
what's
well.
The problem?
Yeah, you're like, well, that's still wrong. But anyways, pretty good show. You know, we'll be looking forward to watching the end of it this coming Tuesday.
I can't believe those words are coming out of your mouth. I grew up with you.
What? What?
That's so wrong.
Yeah.
I grew up with you.
I mean. If I was that dude, I wouldn't feel taken advantage of, I'll tell you that, you know? I mean, she's not hard to look at, so,
dude,
you know.
Did you see Rogan's stand-up when he talks about the difference between men and women?
Yeah, and probably, like, but I don't recall
like
it. But
he said, he was talking about Harvey Weinstein, and he's
right.
Like, Harvey Weinstein doing that to a woman? He's like, if that's my daughter, yeah, I'm going to kick the crap out of him. But if that's a Harvina Weinstein and that's my son, I'm like,
right,
get in there. You want to be the next Batman?
Exactly.
It's like,
well, right, and that's the difference,
it's
right?
The difference.
Because like, she's ostracized and he's idolized. Like he's
correct.
Made into a hero, and she's like, you know, her life is ruined, and it's kind of like the paths that they both take after,
right.
You know, after the news comes out. So. But yeah, growing up, you know, you and I too, like,
oh, yeah.
Going through high school, like, if we had the opportunity with a teacher, like, we're not going to feel taken advantage of.
John, know? I married a teacher.
Yeah. True, but she wasn't
I'm
one
living
at the time.
Dream.
She wasn't your teacher.
No.
But anyways, pretty good show. I think it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, now.
And,
I'll be right back.
Yeah. Let's see. What. Oh, we watched.
Funny.
We watched 2 of the Hobbit movies, so we watched Fellowship
nice.
And Two Towers, so we've just got the one more.
I'll
tell you what,
two
man.
Of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, not the Hobbit, the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like we watched the Two Towers on Sunday, and it took all day.
Yeah.
Just for that one movie. Like, I swear to God, it was like 4 or 5 hours long. And like, we paused it to make dinner and we paused it a couple times throughout the day. And I was like, we started this at like 3 o'clock.
Takes
and
two here it discs. Is
like, here it is like 9 o'clock and we're still watching this movie. But
well,
yeah.
With the frequency that you get up to pee.
Well, yeah, I know. It's honestly, I'm pausing it every 30 minutes. So,
it's all those Diet Cokes.
It is. It's brutal. You're lucky I make it through these shows without having to get up.
People don't realize I have to cut and paste this show to put it together.
They don't. They don't because it's hard for me to make. It's hard for me to go 2 hours.
We got to come up with a sounder.
Yeah.
Pouring water.
Yep. Hey, do it. And then I watched The Expanse. I watched the first four issues, first four episodes of The Expanse. So.
Oh, you're just starting it too?
Season 5.
Oh, season 5. Okay.
Yeah. All right. They dropped 3 episodes last week.
Right.
And then on Tuesday the 4th episode dropped. So on Tuesday I watched 3 and 4. I watched 1 and 2 like Monday night. So I'm caught up with The Expanse.
Okay. I just started The Expanse on like I wouldn't say a whim. You've mentioned it in the past and I've had other people, but I was just sitting around and I was, I went to bed one night. And I put it on in my bedroom, and Jen was downstairs on the couch talking to Meg, and I was like, I'll watch it. And I actually stayed awake and watched the whole first episode, and I was like,
yeah.
By the time you get to the end of episode one, it's like, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
The way, they really kind of grab you by the end there.
And that is I'll be honest with you, I know you said you watched episode one in your bedroom, but that is a theater
Yes.
experience.
Did you notice I had a listener on my home theater emailed me today to say, or no, I'm sorry, yesterday. Season 5 is in Atmos.
Yeah, I was going to say that? It's 4K and Atmos.
Yeah.
And it is like cinematically it's like a movie.
Yes.
Like the production quality on this show is through the roof. So
yeah, it's really good. I've gone down. I've watched a few episodes in my theater. I've watched some upstairs because I really like the story too. I mean,
it's a great
four seasons. So to get it all in, I can watch it.
That's
wherever,
true. You watch it where you can.
Right. But it is. It's a blast in the theater. There's some nice, pans front to back and stuff.
Yeah, and like I said, especially when you get to season 5 and you get that Atmos track, it's really good. It was good anyways, but
right.
I've noticed this season it really is kind of like up. It's kicked up another notch.
Honestly, for the first time when I came home from work yesterday and I checked out to see if season 5 had Atmos, and it did on mine. And then I went back, and for the first time, I actually have, without any hitches or anything, I have Atmos for Jack Ryan.
For Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
See, I think I had it for season 2, but I didn't. I definitely did not for season 1.
You will. I mean, check it. You'll see. You'll have it. You should.
I'll have it now. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they've Amazon's taking care of that whatever issue that we fought for that for a couple of years.
Oh, I did. Like
money like spent
I messed with that for weeks.
Yeah.
With season 1 because it was like I thought I was doing something wrong because everywhere I read said, "Oh, it has Atmos." And
right.
I couldn't get it to work.
Yeah. Let's hope HBO Max doesn't have the same
I spent a
issues.
Few weeks and a lot of phone calls to you trying to figure out what I was doing wrong.
I know.
And
wasn't you.
Yeah. This time.
No, exactly. let's see. What else? I watched, obviously, we talked about Flight Attendant, but one thing I wanted to say when we were talking about Flight Attendant, Meg was watching it with us for a few episodes, and she had a great line watching Kaylee Cuoco, and she goes, every time I see her in something else now, I just think Penny got a job.
Right.
She finally got her acting job. Yeah. I was like, that is so great, because that's what she was on Big Bang. She was an actress looking for work, and now you're like, it'd be so funny if the credits rolled and it said, Penny. Hofstetter.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. I mentioned it earlier.
She's a great actress.
That's what I was going to say.
Holy
I mentioned
cow.
It a couple of weeks ago, but only ever knowing her from the Big Bang Theory, It's like she was funny on that, and it's like I'm not going to say she was a bad actress, but it's, you know, it's a little bit more one-dimensional character on a sitcom. This movie, I mean, this show, she is all over the place. Like, there's a range of emotions, like, up and down the spectrum, and she did a great job. Yeah, I think she's really a much better actress than
people
thought she was. Yeah, or people know.
Well, they haven't had the opportunity, really.
Right.
It's like she's only been in a few things, big things. And now I'd say this is the next biggest thing other than, I mean, it's not like you can.
Nothing's ever going to top the Big Bang as far as
exposure.
What it did. Yeah. But,
and you don't get a great range of acting doing Harley. So,
no, it's all the same.
And that's a blast. I mean,
that was different than Penny, though. Right.
I mean,
it was a different. Different than Penny, but still one-dimensional once you get to it, you know.
Right. Literally, it's flat. She's a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a character of herself. But, the flight attendant, the acting in that is so – and it's quite the original story, I think.
It is,
This isn't – you and I could talk about it later, but it's not even worth doing Kryptonite because it has nothing to do with comics. But it's such a great story to talk about how they came up with that and it's – definitely worth checking out. And here's one that is comic books. Have you ever seen Fanboys?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it. And I heard you talking about it with somebody on Twitter. I saw that you were talking about it. Oh, no, it was on your other podcast. I guess.
So one of my other one of my listeners on Home Theater had recommended it. And he's like, check this out. It's Star Wars. It's this, that.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher's in it. Just a whole bunch of
I've heard of it a few times, but I've never seen it.
It's
Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams is in it. I can't remember some of the names. There's some big actors in this that you'll just be like, what are they doing there? And there's one that I won't tell you, but I want you to find them because when you first see them, you'll never recognize them. But it's cool. But the story is really good. It's you know, gimmicky and stuff. It's one of those movies, but just let it play out and get to the end of it. It's really heartfelt, really good story. But it's about these kids that are not even kids. They're grown men now, but they've had a dream since they were a kid to raid this, you know, Skywalker Ranch and get the copy of Phantom Menace ahead of time. And they go on this journey in like a van that looks like you got to see it. It's definitely worth the watch. Jen and I watched it on Sunday and we started and we're like, okay. But as it plays on, even by the end, Jen's like wiping her tears and going, all right, that was pretty good. So it was really good. Check it out. Especially being a Star Wars fan, comic book fan, they get in. One of the guys, one of the characters owns a comic book store.
Oh, yeah.
So you can relate.
I can relate.
Yeah. We watched Tiny World Episode 3.
Okay.
I don't know if you've started that series.
I haven't started that at all. No.
It's heart-wrenching at times, but it's awesome. Watching those little guys, little creatures that are like literally like the size of a, you know, pencil eraser, and you're watching them run around in the world. It's pretty cool. And Big Sky. Did you do that one yet?
Yeah, we've talked about it a few times. I've watched them all weekly. Yeah.
Is that?
So I've seen them all.
It's still ongoing, right?
It's still ongoing, but this past week was their winter finale, so it'll be off until
February. That's right. Or March we or started it. Yeah, we started it, and then we ended up moving on to Flight Attendant and finishing that because I think we have two episodes of Big Sky left, but I know it doesn't pick up again until January 26th. So we were like, that's a really good one as well.
It's really good. Yeah. I like that.
That's cool. Oh, and I watched another Christmas movie. I watched Lethal Weapon.
We talked about that last week, didn't we?
We talked about it being a Christmas movie, but I actually watched it again. So,
okay.
I really, really enjoyed that. I watched some of the extras too. And did you ever see the,
I don't think I've ever seen the extras of it.
Oh, there's an awesome. It's in the 2013 Blu-ray, but it used to be. I have the DVD where it was actually in the movie. It was the director's cut, where Riggs, he goes to a school shooting.
Uh-huh.
There's a sniper at a school, and he walks up, and this is supposed to be at the beginning of the movie to before he's met Murdoch.
Right.
And he's like, he's on the edge, you know, this is pointing out like he's just suicidal, basically. And there's a guy up in the school with a, you know, sniper rifle, and he's just picking off kids in their hall. And he shows up, and he's like, what do you got going on? And they're like, we don't know. He's just shooting at kids. And they're like, what kind of shot is he? And they're like, we don't know. He goes, all right, see ya. And he's about to leave, and he sees a kid go by wounded. And he's like, all right. He takes out his handgun. He's like, walks right up, and the guy's shooting at him, and he doesn't even flinch. And he's just shooting by him. And then when he pops his head out, he just blows the guy away. It's such a great scene. But it's in the 2013 Blu-ray.
Blu-ray, yeah.
It's an extra.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I wish they'd left it, but it's probably a little too violent.
Yeah, maybe.
So, but that's all I got. Is that it for this week, John? We got anything else?
Nothing else. Hey, did you ever get back to Ted Lasso? No, right?
No.
I meant to ask you that.
Yeah. No, we know. I want to. I was actually thinking of it this week. I'm probably going to have to do that one myself, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're missing out. That's good. That's a good one. I think there was one other little show that came on this
week. One other show?
I think, yeah, one other.
I don't know. The music's playing. Let's let it play out.
All right.
All right, John, full of spoilers. Door's locked. You don't even have to pretend to lock the door. Let's just get into it. Everybody knows we're talking Mando now. You heard the music. Yeah. You know it all. So were you as shocked as the rest of the world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we talked about it a few weeks prior, like who it was going to be. And, you know,
didn't we say, I didn't go Luke back and listen, but didn't we say that Luke would have been made so the most cool?
Sense. Right. You know, it always made the most sense for it to be Luke, but it was also the one that you just didn't expect to ever see.
It made the most sense story-wise, but it made the least sense practically filming.
Right.
Right?
Because they've gone on record so many times saying that they want to move away from basically the Skywalker saga.
Right.
It's like, well, we're never going to get Luke, you know?
Right.
Like, how the hell can it be?
Well, it's funny because a couple weeks ago we were saying how they've done a good job of expanding the universe and the galaxy
without
and
them.
Seeing
right.
other things. And then as right. much as we were excited to have Luke, I did have a little bit of that of like, uh-oh, we kind of brought him back in, but I'm not that upset.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was blown away, you know, away by it. You know, the thing is, you're like,
so what did you think? Let's break it down a little bit.
Well, you see, right. So you see the X-Wing coming in, right? And you're like, well, who is that coming in? You know? And it's like, oh, it's gotta be Luke. Nah, it can't be Luke.
That's what I
was. And then, you know, it cuts to like the monitor and you're seeing it in black and white and like the hooded figure comes out and you're like, man, that's gotta be Luke. Nah, it can't be Luke. You know?
Right.
And then the green saber comes on and you're like, that's Luke. And then I was like, well, a lot of Jedis have green sabers. Can't be Luke.
Right.
You know?
Did you?
And then you see the gloved hand and you're like, son of a bitch, that's Luke. You know?
Which I thought was funny because why does he have a gloved hand? He doesn't have to have a gloved hand because his prosthetic looks natural.
Right. But he's always had it. I mean, he had it throughout all through Jedi. He wore that black glove.
Okay.
I went through like four permutations of going to be Luke. No, it can't be Luke. And then when you knew it was Luke, you're like, unbelievable. But then again, in my head, I'm like, well, who's playing him? Like, who's playing Luke?
Right.
Because it can't be Mark Hamill, you know?
Right.
And then you get to the, you know, somewhat questionable CGI, but
it was better than Leia's.
It was better than Leia's. I don't think it was as good as Tarkin, though. I think they did a better job with Tarkin.
But you know what's interesting, though? And I think we talked about this when we talked about Leia and Tarkin with our art background. Tarkin has a lot more lines in his face for them to work with.
He's a lot older.
And the two that were a little bit looked wonky, if you will, are the younger ones that have very smooth faces, and you don't have a lot to work with to try and hide that it's CGI. It's like,
right. But I heard somebody else talking about this afterwards. I think it was on it was Kevin Smith and Mark Bernard, and it was on the Fat Man Beyond. They were talking about it. You know, there's deep fakes on the internet of everything under the sun that look so much more realistic than what they did on this show. You know what I mean? Like, they could have deep faked it and it would have looked better than,
right,
you know, the CGI that they did. So it's kind of like,
but are those animated or are those just pictures?
No, they're just, I mean, it's video. Like,
oh, okay.
Where they superimpose one person into something else, but it looks so real. Like, some of those deep fakes, and I don't I haven't really watched too many of them, but I mean, I know they're out there. But they look like almost indistinguishable from, like, you would have to really look to know that it wasn't real, kind of thing.
Right.
And if they can do that on the internet, like, if just random Joe can do that on the internet, why can't these professionals do it for this? But yeah, like I said, I don't want to nitpick on that because honestly, I don't want to take away anything from the episode. But it was a little not perfect. But I mean, the whole thing was unbelievable. And honestly, like, that was great. But what really got me was R2. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like when R2 came around the corner, I was like, oh, man.
That the scene though with them getting back into the elevator and the three of them, Luke holding Grogu, right, and R2 next to him, and that little statuette, somebody had that already on Twitter. Somebody had that little statuette or something already made up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell? Oh my God.
But yeah, I mean, it was like, and you know, again, it's the Luke that you always wanted, right? Like, it was unbelievable scene.
Let's get into the comparison that you've seen on Twitter too, is compared to the Vader hallway scene.
Yeah, it's almost identical.
Right. You know? It's, I mean, I put together, I saw two different images on Twitter and I put it together, put Merry Christmas, because one's black, one's red. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, this did for Luke what that scene did for Vader. You know what I mean? Like, Vader was known throughout the galaxy as like the most feared villain ever. But like, you didn't ever see that
right
until Rogue One. You know, same thing. Luke is known as this like incredibly powerful Jedi hero. But you didn't really see it, you know. I mean, there was flashes of it in Return of the Jedi, but like, this is really where like he's at the height of his power, you know. And I mean, he just took those things apart. Like, I mean, he went through those droids like they were nothing, you know. And it was awesome. Like, it was so awesome to watch that entire scene. You know, I mean, then you have all the emotional stuff at the end where, like, you know, Grogu saying goodbye to Din Djarin and he takes his helmet off. And,
oh.
You know, reveals his face to him and, you know, again with the mustache and, you know.
It was a little less, though.
I almost thought he shaved. Yeah.
Right. But
maybe he listened to us and
that's
he shaved.
What I said. I said to Joe, I go, they're listening to John.
Yeah.
But he actually looked more scruffy than just mustache, because his whole face was that way. Now, what do you think that means? I mean, there's a lot more to break down from the episode, but what do you think that means moving forward with him and his helmet? Do you think he's loosening on that? That's
Right. I think
everybody in that room is not going to die because of it.
And it was set up by Bo-Katan and all of that a couple of episodes before, where she opened the door to saying, you know, that's not the true Mandalore way, and, like, you can take your helmet off. And
right.
Now he's done it twice this season, so I think going forward, 2 years from now, when we get season three, we'll probably see it more often, you know. I don't know that he's going to take it off every episode, but obviously he's loosened his thinking on it somewhat.
Right. So is that because that's the way the story was supposed to go, or is that because he wants to be able to take his helmet off to be able to be the actor?
Yeah, I don't know. Because, again, you hear a lot of this stuff.
I know, and you don't know.
You hear that there was a lot of behind-the-scenes issues with him. But I have to think that when he signed the contract to be the Mandalorian, he knew going into it that he wasn't ever going to take his helmet off. Like, I don't know if that's true or not. It's just what you hear. Like, that's exactly the internet rumor. Like, I feel like he probably knew what he was in for when he signed on to the role. But I think they said it like it's part of the story. Because, again, you don't have – it goes back to last week when we talked about why cast Hayden Christensen as Vader if he's only ever going to be in the suit. It's like, why pay for Pedro Pascal if I could be in that suit? You know what I mean? It's like, I think there was intention at some point for him to show his face. So I think it's story.
Right.
I honestly think it's story related.
Yeah.
And again, like, you know, Bo-Katan set it up earlier in the season, you know, by saying that the true Mandalorians don't believe in that.
Right. That's just a certain sect.
Right. Basically the cult.
Right. You know? Or, it's a religion.
You're right.
Or whatever you want to call it. But it's, and that's fine. But if that's who he believe, what he was raised with, but all right, let's talk about Bo-Katan. What are we doing going for? I think that is,
well, that's season three, right?
The entire season three was just basically laid out at the bridge there.
Right. Because I think we're done with Grogu for a while.
For a little bit. He did say, I will see you again.
He did, but I don't know when that happens, right? Because if he's off with Luke, like, he's not going to be able to just check in on him every week. You know what I mean? Like, I think next season is probably the, I guess the fight for Mandalore. But the thing is, how much of a fight is it? Because he doesn't want it, you know?
Well, didn't he say he would help them if they helped him?
He did, but he doesn't want to be the leader.
No. That was great when he tried to hand her the darksaber and, like, even his head, like, here, take it.
I yield. He doesn't want the darksaber, you know? And that's the other question, right? Like, you have to win it in battle, right? That's what they say. But do you have to kill the person? Like, can't she just
beat
him up?
Clearly not, because he won it in battle without killing Gideon.
So can't she just beat him up and he can give it to her? He's like, here, punch me in the face a few times and I'll give it to you. You know, it's like, I don't know.
Well, she didn't get it in battle the first time.
I don't remember.
Because Sabine did it. Sabine gave it to her. She won
it. I don't remember.
And then left the planet.
I don't remember.
Because remember her training to use it? Remember Ezra training her and saying, this is what you're going to have to do to win the saber? And then Sabine wins the saber. And then says to her, isn't that her sister or a cousin or something? They're related, aren't they? Because she turned it over to her and she said, like,
yeah, I don't remember.
Here.
I have to rewatch it. But then that brings up the next question. It's like, Sabine is the last one we knew had the Darksaber. And so now if Gideon has it, did he win it from her? Or does he just not follow? Like, he doesn't really care about that. Like, he's just
saying, Sabine didn't have it. She won it, and then she gave it up to, I thought it was...
At the end of Rebels, she had it. Sabine was the last person to have it.
I thought she left. I thought she left without it. Because she won it, and then she was... I thought she gave it up.
No, I don't know. I'm pretty sure. And I read that somewhere recently that she was the last one to have it. And then it ended up with Gideon, and how did that happen? But, like, it doesn't matter if he won it from her, you know what I mean? Like, he could have just taken it he could have taken it while she was sleeping, you know, because he's not a Mandalorian, so he doesn't follow that. But, yeah, I don't know, but that's definitely going to be season three, because there's tension there, but, like, I don't want to see them turn her into the bad guy. You know what I mean?
No.
Well, that's kind of the
Gideon's
way they're
trying to, like, he's like, well, that's right, the murderers but, that they are, and like he's one to talk.
But that's what they're kind of setting up, because if she's going against Mando, like, as a viewer, he's our hero, which would make her the bad guy. You know what right. I mean? And I hope they don't go that way, but she's definitely not going to stand down. Like, she wants that, you know, wants the saber. So, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that's going to play out, but I think that's definitely season three.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. That's what they're setting up there. And it's funny because that's what that entire episode was about, is that battle. Well,
right. It was.
On the bridge, Mando battling Gideon, which was, that was a great battle, too.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Really nice. You
which
know,
I we talked about the
choreography
week before,
there.
Because I said that the week before. It's like, I really hope we see a Beskar spear.
Yeah.
Clashing with the Darksaber, and we got that. Yeah, like I said, the whole episode was about different things until Luke comes and steals the show at the end.
But what was funny is, and Joe and I had this conversation, he realized it like a day later, and I think we both realized it like at the same time, but we weren't together. And then by the time we got together, we're like, do you realize that like they didn't have to go there? Luke was going to rescue Grogu without them.
What do you mean?
They had never shown up to rescue Grogu, Luke would have shown up, destroyed everybody on the ship, and rescued
Grogu.
Oh,
yeah. It's the Indiana Jones thing, right?
Yeah, it's the Indiana from Big Bang Theory, where it's right. like, whether they show up or not.
Yeah.
Like,
the movie know. Is the same, you know?
So, for all intents and purposes, like, Mando did his job when he put Grogu on the Seeing Stone.
Right.
And that was it. After
yeah,
that,
I didn't really, I didn't think about that either till you just said it. But yeah, you're right. Like, whether they were there or not didn't right. change a single thing.
Luke was on the move.
Right.
Whatever. From the, what, like, once, you know, Baby Yoda, Grogu, reached out across the stars, across the galaxy or whatever. It's right. like, and now we know who it was. We were, you know, there was speculation. Maybe it was Mace. Maybe,
right.
who knows?
Maybe it was Ezra.
Right. But, but Luke was showing up there, and it just the fact that they happened to be there also was like, all right, whatever. I would have right. taken care of whoever was here too.
Exactly.
Nobody was going to stop him. They probably actually made it harder for him. Because had probably. He just shown up, all of those, the black troopers.
Right.
They would have all still been in their hibernation chamber.
Right, right. They wouldn't even
have
been
ready
awake.
To go. And he would have walked in, probably just destroyed them before they could have got out of there.
Yeah.
So they only made it more difficult for him, which really wasn't that difficult.
No.
But speaking of that all him showing up, though. Gideon, we hadn't talked about that, and the look on his face.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like he knows who Luke is. Because
well,
when
he
that
knew
door
it was a Jedi. I don't think he knew Luke specifically.
You don't?
I don't think so. I think it, like, he was just afraid of a Jedi, period. At least that's the way I looked at it when I watched it. I could be wrong, but.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I personally don't think he recognized him as Luke. I just thought he was like, oh, it's a Jedi. I wasn't expecting that. You know what
it's
I mean?
So funny because you see Luke show up, you know, master Jedi now.
Right.
Probably really the only known Jedi other than Ahsoka out there.
Right.
Wielding that saber like it's supposed to be wielded. And you have right. Gideon sitting there with who basically knows how to turn it on and off.
Right.
That's it. It's like that's all he can do. He's like, see? Vroom. Pretty cool looking, isn't
well,
it?
Well, he had a pretty good battle, though, with Mando. Like, he knew how to use that Darksaber.
Well, yeah, which, I know how to pick up a sword and wave it around, but...
Yeah, but he did better than that.
Yeah, like, know, you see me wave a sword around?
What I'm saying is he did better, like, he was pretty good with it. Because, right. like, you could hand me a Darksaber, And I couldn't fight like that just because I had the Darksaber. You know what I mean? Like, right. He's obviously had training with that sword outside of that, you know, because he knew how to fight. Because like I said, I could have a lightsaber too, but I couldn't do all of that. So
cut my arms off.
Yeah. I'd be looking in the hilt going, is this thing on? And I'd go right through my eye socket, right out of the back of my head. So how do you turn this thing on? If he's got batteries, I'd be knocking it against the side of my head.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Do they have to charge those things? Are they like an iPhone? Like,
they never seem to have to, so I guess the Kyber crystal is like unlimited power source.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they don't have any Duracells out there.
So, oh, so good.
Imagine that, like you're in the middle of your lightsaber battle with Darth Vader and like your lightsaber goes out because the battery's died. And then the Energizer Bunny comes across the bottom of the screen.
Warning, you only have 10% left. It's like, do you want to go to low power mode?
Don't let this be you. Use Energizer batteries.
I feel like that was an Energizer commercial or something.
Yeah, I don't know, but could have been.
So you want to talk a little bit about that Twitter thread that we read?
Yeah, we can. I mean, you're presupposing I remember most of it. But,
well, it's basically what I liked about it was explaining the difference. Like, this is the difference between Luke here or Luke at the end of Return of the Jedi and then what we see in The Last Jedi.
Right. And the premise was that a lot of people, after watching this episode, said, we finally got the Luke that we wanted and not the Luke that we saw in The Last Jedi, right? And this tweet was basically an essay. It was a, you know, basically, I don't know, 10 or 12 tweets
it
by the same
the
guy, which formed a little essay, talking about how it was the same Luke, and it kind of broke down the hero's journey from the end of Return of the Jedi to, like, The Last Jedi. And how the Luke that we got in The Mandalorian was just part of that journey, like one step on the road.
It's a younger Luke in The Mandalorian. It's obviously, it's a younger Luke, less experience.
Right, but 5 years, but he's 5 years
skilled.
Removed from Return of the Jedi, right? So he's 5 years older than Jedi, but obviously, you know, 15, 20 years younger than the Luke from The Last Jedi. But like I said, the tweet went on to basically talk about how it was the same guy and gave his mindset from point A to point B being, you know, the Luke we saw in The Last Jedi. And I just thought it was an interesting read. Like, you know, I sent it to you. I sent it to Dr. Joe. And like, I didn't necessarily have a problem with Luke in The Last Jedi, but I know a lot of people did. This broke down how somebody that was as powerful as he was here in The Mandalorian could become the guy that we saw in The Last Jedi. I don't know. I thought it was a really interesting take. Like I said, I didn't have a problem as much as some people did with the way he was in that movie.
You know,
but
can I, like, so yes, you're right. It was a very interesting take, but can I bring it right to just season 2 of The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
The difference
you can
between
bring it wherever you want.
No. I thank you.
I mean,
right. Cuz you know I'll edit it to whatever I want it to say.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So the difference between Ahsoka and Luke in season 2 of The Mandalorian. Ahsoka is more like Luke from Last Jedi. She's more remorse. She's more like, no, she doesn't want to train Grogu. She knows what can happen. Younger Luke is all power. He's all like, you know, gusto. He just wants to go out and he wants to train these.
Right.
This is at the beginning of his journey of starting to train people. He doesn't know what it's like to see somebody go bad, where Ahsoka does. Because it was her master that went bad. So just in this season alone, you do get the Luke from Last Jedi. It's represented by Ahsoka.
Right.
And she says, I don't want to train him. But Luke young, you know, immature.
Right. He hasn't got there yet.
He hasn't learned that yet. So it's you're seeing this. It's a cyclical thing that happens all throughout this Star Wars stories. It's like you're seeing the same story over and over. And it's at different point. Each character is at a different point. What I think will be interesting is if we can get a Luke and Ahsoka scene where Ahsoka right. argues with Luke and says, like, I don't agree with this, and here's why. And how cool would that be for Ahsoka to foreshadow the future of what could happen? What if, and this is what I thought afterwards, what if Grogu is the reason that Ben goes bad? What if Grogu went bad? Because in Phantom Menace, we had that young little Anakin, that little kid that is so cute that you can't imagine could become Darth Vader.
Right.
What if something happens with this gorgeous, cute baby that everybody, you know, this child that everybody wants as a stuffed animal turns into the next evil dark side?
I mean, they already foreshadowed it a little bit.
I know. And it's like, there's so much, and it's not, if you look back and you see what Anakin looked like as a child, you're like, I mean, every serial killer started out as a cute baby.
Yeah, I'm sure Hitler was a cute kid too. So
always comes back to Hitler.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean. Like, there's so many places they could go, but that would be a cool scene, especially where we know the end story. Especially, right. you know, for Luke, anyways. But how cool would that be to have that scene with Ahsoka and Luke, and Ahsoka telling Luke the future, and Luke doubting it, and be like, "Dude, we've already seen your ending. What are you arguing with her for?" Right. But I think it's. As much as we didn't want anything, not that we didn't want it, but we want to see other parts of the galaxy.
Right.
What Filoni and Favreau have done is just, I mean, I never thought I would be like this excited again for more of this.
Right.
And
I definitely want Luke at least one more time. Like, I don't know if we will, but yeah, I want to see him. Have you seen that cartoon that's floating around the internet of like Luke and Ahsoka meeting?
No.
And it's basically a conversation they have about Anakin, because, you know, he's Anakin's son, and Anakin was her teacher, right? So there's an attachment with both of them. And basically it's him telling her that he came back to the light at the end, and like she breaks down and starts crying, you know, because he found his way back. And it's like, I need to see that scene on that show. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because any meeting between the two of them needs to involve Anakin, needs to involve a conversation about, you know,
a Force ghost.
Yeah. About, yeah. Well, not necessarily him appearing, but a conversation between the two of them about Anakin. You know what I mean? That's the meeting I want to see, and I think
right
if they don't give us that at some point, like,
but we end up with that same cyclical story with Ben Solo, right. Same story as Anakin. You know, it's like, so you saw Ahsoka doing that story, now Luke is doing that story.
I don't know if you've seen it on the internet again this week, and you know, the internet being what it is, but like, everybody hates Kylo even more now because they assume he killed Grogu. You know, and it's like, we don't know that happened. You know what I mean?
Right.
But everybody's assuming that he killed Grogu at the academy with all the other Jedi, and like, they all hate him again. And it's like, you're projecting something that you don't even know. Like, Grogu could have been long gone by then. You know what I mean? So I just think it's funny the way people jump to all those conclusions. But
Grogu could be in hiding, like Yoda did. I mean, Grogu is going to live to be 800. He could live to be 800. He's could be around forever.
Exactly. Like I said, we may see him. Like, he could come back 400 years from now. You know what I mean?
Right.
And be in a whole series of stories that take place, again, 400 years after all these people are dead, but he's our hero now. And like, I'm down for that too. You know, I think that would be awesome. Or like you said, maybe he's the next emperor. You know, maybe he Maybe he goes evil and, you know, turns
they
into
could go
the
anywhere,
next Palpatine.
In any direction. Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, so. it's if nothing else, it's amazing. Like I said, how they've sparked that interest again.
Yeah.
And there was a time not long ago where we were like, all right, maybe there's some Star Wars fatigue, but it doesn't last long. That fatigue does not last long. It's,
yeah. I mean, I never really felt that. I know that was the prevailing sentiment when Solo came out, is that it did badly because of Star Wars fatigue. I didn't personally buy into that because we get a Marvel movie every 4 months and nobody has Marvel fatigue.
MCU fatigue. Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think that was the case. And I liked Solo, so I don't even think there was a problem with that movie. But I never personally had Star Wars fatigue. Just, I don't think it exists for me. You know?
No, I don't think it ever existed for either of us. But what I mean is, like, the world was saying maybe this and that. But now you go on the internet and everything is Star Wars. Everything is, you know, like.
I mean, I've heard some of the opposite.
Issue bonus.
Like, I've heard some gripes out there that people are saying, "Oh, that's too much Marvel and too much Star Wars." And
then don't watch it.
Yeah, that's my feeling. It's like, well, GTFO, you know? It's like,
yeah, it's nobody told me you have to watch it.
We're not the same. Like, you're not my people. You're not in my tribe if you think that's too much, you know?
Right. But in this day and age, there's no such thing as too much.
Well, right, because you don't have to consume anything that you don't want to.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
I mean, yeah,
that's the whole thing. It's like, maybe it's too much for you, but don't take it away from the rest of us. Like, if you don't want it, that's fine. You don't have to have it.
Right. When we were kids and there was only three channels, and if you got, like, every night of the week you were watching Chips, you'd be pretty upset. You'd be like, can we get something else? But nowadays, you don't like it, go to something else.
Right. There's another channel to go to, right? You don't have to watch it.
Go find the podcasts that you like, or go find the movies that you like, stream those. I mean, you can create your own playlists on pretty much every platform.
Right.
So I think those people they're just haters and they like to say that stuff to get everybody going. We've just spent time on them.
Right, because that's the whole thing. It caused us to talk about him for 2 minutes.
Well, we never mentioned any names.
No, but you know what I mean? It's like it got attention, and that's all they're trying to do.
Yep.
Is get attention, so.
Yep, yeah. So, I don't know. We'll be talking Star Wars forever.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah, so, not quite, because let's talk about the Book of Boba Fett for a minute.
Oh, that's right. All right. Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So, yeah, obviously we got an after credit scene, and Boba Fett shows up at Jabba. Because, again, I didn't necessarily put that together either. Like, I saw the twin sons, and I was like, oh, we're back on Tatooine. And then they flash to Jabba's palace, and I'm like, oh, Jabba's palace, what's going on here? You know,
he's dead.
Right, he's gone. And then, Fett goes in, and I don't know quite why he needed revenge on Bib Fortuna, but he goes in and takes his revenge on Bib Fortuna, seats himself in the throne, and then we get the thing that's the Book of Boba Fett. So the first thing I thought of,
I was like, what the?
I was blown away too, but here's what I thought of. It's like, if Boba Fett is on, like, his revenge kick, and like he's, you know, he's taken over to get his revenge. You know who he has a grudge against?
Who?
A certain blind guy that knocked him into the Sarlacc pit. So, like, we just got Luke back. Do we get Han Solo in the Boba Fett series?
Oh, wow. So
now it will not be Harrison Ford, and I would go back to betting my house on that. But it's either it could be Alden Ehrenreich or it could be somebody else. But, like, I find a hard time thinking we get a Boba Fett series and we don't have Han Solo around somewhere. Because
that's a good one.
Because he's definitely got a score to settle there.
Yeah, but it was an accident, though.
Well, do you think he cares?
Do you think he knows?
Do you think he knows it was an accident, number one?
No, but do you think he knows it was him? Do you think he knows who knocked him in? Because it was from behind.
Well, I don't know, but I know he knew Han was there, you know.
Right, but it's like because Han, it was a Three Stooges move to begin with. It was like, hey, what? Boom. And it's like, you know, it's like it was totally Three Stooges.
Because conveniently absent from the Luke Skywalker appearance on The Mandalorian was Boba Fett. Because Boba Fett might have had something to say to Luke, because he would definitely know who Luke was.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know.
I was thinking he should,
because he was in Jabba's palace when Luke came and said, turn over Captain Solo and the Wookiee. So,
yeah, he was just there partying with them, though.
Yeah, but he was there. He would know who he was. There.
Right, right.
I don't know. I just got to thinking, if he's out settling scores, he's got a couple of big scores to settle.
And, right.
One of them would be with Captain Solo. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see.
Now, I think he goes more, I don't want to say dark, but I don't think I think we're going to see a more ruthless.
Yeah, I think so. Like, we got the I'm going to follow the code and be sort of a halfway good guy in this series. But I don't think we get that worker, and he'll work
for anybody.
I don't think we get that in the Book of Fett. Like, I think we get the ruthless kind of Boba Fett that everybody kind of wants.
Well, it's not like he sided with the Empire. But he'll work for anybody.
Right.
And that's how he ended up working.
Well, right.
For
he's on his own side.
Vader.
And whatever he does in this show is going to be for him and not necessarily for anybody else. But
he actually never worked for the Empire. He was working for Jabba. He was seeking out Han Solo for Jabba.
Right, right. And he worked for the Hutts.
But he crossed paths
with Vader,
Vader because Vader also wanted he wanted the bait.
Right.
For Luke. So, but yeah
but he, you're right. Technically, he never worked for
the Empire. Right. But he was on the Star Destroyer.
When we saw all the other
Vader,
bounty hunters.
Right.
Yeah.
But the bounty hunters were coming in
to assist.
They were hiring them, but he was already on it. And we knew that from, special edition version of A New Hope, which had Boba Fett in it. But
he was already on the case from Jabba.
Yep. Yeah, that's in what's her name? Ming
Na Wen.
Yeah. Fennec. Her being in it. That's pretty cool. They're the only two that are slated as like co-stars.
They're the two stars, and it is being produced by Dave Filoni and John Favreau and Robert Rodriguez. So it's the same crew.
It's in filming right now.
Right. It's filming now. And
didn't we say that a while ago? And that's why you were so.
We did.
Like,
and that's why I was confused that there wasn't an announcement on their investor call, because I had heard that they were already in production on that show. And that's why I was confused about it. But.
Right.
They were just holding back because I guess they didn't want to spoil the finale of their show.
It was a great way to do it, because as soon as I saw that, you know, the stinger, I was like, that's why they didn't say. I thought of you right away. Yeah. I was like, that's why they didn't do anything. It's a great one. I'm really looking forward to the gallery, though. And reliving it again. It'll make you go back and see these episodes. I can't believe they pulled it off.
I'm still blown away.
Because Mark Hamill said that.
Honestly, everything leaked. Like, everything we got this season, we kind of already knew. You know what I mean?
Like Boba Fett.
Like, we knew Boba Fett was going to be in it. We knew that Rosario Dawson was cast as Ahsoka. We knew that Bo-Katan was coming. Like, all that stuff leaked throughout the year. But somehow they managed to keep Mark Hamill, which is the biggest leak of all, and somehow they were managed to keep that a secret. And none of them know how they did. I read an article saying, like, Jon Favreau and them, they were freaking out even all the way up until the night before it aired. That it was going to get out, and they can't believe that it didn't get out.
I want to go back and see. I've only watched it a few times.
Well, I've only watched it once. So.
And every time I've watched it, I've watched it in awe.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I think the third time I watched it, I fast forward at 10 second hops here and there when it got a little slow, when you already know the story, just to get to that scene and then watch them. So I want to go back and watch with a critical eye, the whole scene when the doors open and Luke comes in and talks to the people on the bridge, right? And takes Grogu. I'm wondering that if you go back and watch that, none of the people in the room were in the same room with Luke. And I'm wondering if the people, you know what I mean? Like,
Luke wasn't even in the same room. Luke wasn't in the same room as Luke. Like, that was all filmed, but that was all filmed with the stand-in, you know? I mean, Mark Hamill didn't play the Jedi. I mean, there was an actor that did that, and they just superimposed Mark Hamill's face onto his body. So, like, when that scene was being filmed, Mark Hamill wasn't involved in any way. You know, that all was done after the fact.
I'm wondering if they told anybody that it was going to be. Who it was supposed to be.
Well, that's the thing, because
you know what
honestly,
I mean? Like, maybe
none
of the actors knew.
They never say his name.
Right.
Like, they never know who, because, like, I think it was a big miss. Like, he should have walked into the room and said, I'm Luke Skywalker, I'm here to rescue you, you know? But he never actually said his name, so, right, they might not have known who it was.
Right.
As far as they knew,
no, but
it was
mean,
just...
even the actors themselves.
That's
might
what
have
I'm saying. They might not
Mark
have
Hamill...
ever known who he was. It could have just been on the script as unknown Jedi or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because all that stuff that was done with Luke in the hallway, he was by himself. So they none of them ever had to be present for any of that. So yeah, it's possible that they didn't know.
That's one way you keep it a secret, is you have minimal people.
But
that
somewhere
know.
Along the line, people were working on the, the special effects
and
had to have known that they were working on Luke Skywalker. It wasn't like Pedro Pascal didn't leak anything anyways. It was always like random set people that leak everything. So I don't think it would have been any of those main actors leaking the news anyways.
Right.
You know, it's always like, you know, gaffer number two that goes out and has a beer with somebody and talks about his day at work, you know?
Gaffer number two.
I'm the best boy on The Mandalorian, and you'll never guess what I saw. So
yeah, it's and like Mark Hamill said it, he tweeted out, he's like, the fact that we were able to keep my involvement a secret for over a year.
Yeah.
He said, with no leaks is nothing less than a miracle, a real triumph for spoiler haters everywhere. Hashtag loose lips sink starships.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. And you go back to like looking for the glove, like you said, it was like when you saw that single, you know, X-Wing, and then I was waiting for the rest of the fleet to squadron to show up.
Because honestly, X-Wing originally, I thought it was like Dave Filoni coming back and like Kim's Convenience, you know? I thought it was those two guys. So,
right. That's what I thought too. And they're like, oh, it's a single X-Wing or whatever they said. And I was like, oh no. Yeah. And I was like, and my immediate thought was they're making us think it's Luke and they're just going to, and then they're going to pull the rug off from under. They're going to pull the Charlie Brown on me. They're pulling the football, right? And they didn't. But then, like you said, then you got the green saber, but now you're like, all right, this is too good to be true.
Right.
But I saw the gloved hand before they did, like Joe and I were watching it for the first time. And when he puts up the hand to crush them or to keep them back and he puts that right hand up and it's gloved, I had already seen it because I've been yelling at the screen. I'm like, it's Luke. He's got the gloved hand, right? And then when they put it up, I said, and that's for everybody right now that hasn't noticed it yet, because he put it up on the screen and you could see it was like, for anybody that doesn't know yet, guess who this is?
Right.
And it was just like we'd said it before. It would have been so cool if it was him. But the logistics of the actor, he's just.
Yeah. I just didn't think it was ever going to be possible. Yeah. But. Like you said,
but it was.
It out. Yep.
So who knows? Who do they bring back next season? Alec Guinness?
Yeah. That'd be a trick.
Yep. Well,
they brought back Tarkin.
Yeah. All right. All right. Is that all we got?
I think so.
That's quite a week. That was a fun week. And it's still Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Look at that.
It's almost Christmas.
Yeah, we haven't talked that long yet. It's still Christmas Eve.
Oh, all right. All right, John. That will do it for our Christmas Eve edition of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Chapter 16. Hey, everybody, have a great Christmas. Be safe. I don't know what everybody's doing, but we're not doing a lot, so you can hang in. Listen to the Bright Side Chat on a loop.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, I am so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. We'll try to do better next year. But anyways, in the meantime, let us know what's going on out there. You can tweet at us at brightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts on Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And if you got a minute or two, go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. 5-star reviews are awesome. We'd really appreciate it. That'd be nice under the tree, huh, John? A couple of five-star reviews?
Yep.
All right.
That'd make my day.
Yes. All right. That will do it. Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a great weekend. Have a great holiday. And we will be back next year with our year roundup, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Take it easy, everybody.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.